All right, so last time we talked about the gift of prophecy, right? And we talked about having a mindset, right? Denise, did you get the recording from last week? Mm-hmm. Okay, did you understand everything?
I do.
Okay, okay. So, because you guys flow in the gift of prophecy. All you guys have prophesied at some point in here numerous times, every last one you guys have. So it's not the fact that you don't understand the gift, but there's a mindset that you have that takes you to the higher levels. Mm-hmm. Of gifts. The Bible talks about let grace be multiplied unto you, or grace heaped upon grace. And so as you continue to flow and walk in the gifts, God starts to ascend you in these levels, not only in the different levels of revelation, but the different levels within that gift of ascension. Does that make sense? There's levels within each gift that you can ascend in. Does that make sense, Tim? So like if you're operating in the word of knowledge, the word of knowledge can have different facets to it. You can start to receive dreams, visions, actually hear God talk to you about someone, and just really expand on. And then you'll know more than just one word or one phrase or one thing. God will actually expound on that gift and actually show you different manifestations of that same gift. Okay. And so the more that you can submit your mind over to the word of God and meditation and focus, you will see your gifts expand and grow. And God will take you to new dimensions with that gift. So each gift has levels and dimensions within that and within each gift. Another thing that I started doing maybe 5 or 6 years ago, I started hearing thoughts that people had in conversations they were having with God. And y'all have seen me tell people, this is what you just told God, or this is what you were praying, or that was an expansion of the word of knowledge gift. If you remember in the scriptures that Jesus himself knew the thoughts of people, and then he made comments, even though they were talking amongst themselves or thinking within themselves, he said, hey, why are you thinking these things? Does that make sense? So he was at a place that he was so sensitive to the things of the spirit that he could pick up on any and everything that was going on. So if you have that sensitivity to God and that relationship with God, you can pick up on anything that goes on in the spirit, not just godly things. You can pick up on demonic things. You can pick up on people's thoughts. And it's pretty crazy, you know? Yeah. And you can hear, you can pick up on things. And so, I mean, I don't hear things all the time, of course, but as the spirit allows me to hear these things, sometimes, you know, people need to hear that because they're thinking like, you know, because they're thinking, oh, okay, well, I told this to Kathleen and maybe Kathleen told Lyric that, or, you know, how close they are. Maybe Jackie told him something and that's why he's saying that. No, because some people, unless they see an absolute only God thing, they only believe, like the disciples, right? They went 3.5 years watching this guy do all of this stuff, live a perfect life, and still were like, I don't believe it. I won't believe you. Nope. Unless I see it, right? Right, Kathleen?
I can't imagine walking with Jesus and not believing it. Right?
Yeah.
They saw him perform miracles.
So why do you think that was? Why do you think they had such a hard time, Jackie? Why do you think, babe, why do you think they had such a hard, even though they saw Jesus do all those miracles 3.5 years, why do you think they still have a hard time believing that he actually rose from the dead when they were told that he was, and he told them that he would? And even God said, this is my son. I mean, they even had the voice of God say, and John the Baptist say, I mean, they had everything. And they were still like, so don't feel bad about being chosen, okay? We weren't that bad, right?
Maybe it's because they didn't have the Holy Spirit at much time.
That's one aspect of it. That's one aspect.
I mean, maybe we've got the history to know that all the people around us mostly believe in God, know there is a God. We know that so many people understand that and believe that Jesus is the Son of God. At that point, they'd never seen Jesus, they didn't hear of him until he showed up, right?
Mm-hmm.
But they knew of John the Baptist.
I believe it's the same thing nowadays, why people don't believe.
Mm-hmm.
I think because the spirit world doesn't want them to believe, and spirits talk to them that's not true. No, that can't be. And it's these spirits talking to them, and they get doubt and unbelief in their hearts.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I think like Jesus, he couldn't keep people in Nazareth because unbelief. And it says that nobody is a prophet in their own house. Your family doubt sometimes about, oh, really? Can you prophesy? Can you tell me what's going on? It's unbelief spirit. Religious spirit.
What you think, big guy? You think, Ken? Yeah.
I don't know. There's so much false teaching that goes on that's gone on for forever. It's what people just kind of need to see. It needs to be more concrete than just faith almost, right? Mm-hmm. And you can look at the disciples, right? They're living with Jesus. They're watching the miracles all day long. What happens when he dies? They cower away and they're afraid that something's going to happen to him till he comes back, right? And so that's it's one of these things you keep kind of pounding me to, right, from here to here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so they see him, they got him, they've got all the stuff that they see right here, but it's not until that they actually really believe that when he came back that he was the Son of God that, I mean, they just went out from that point forward just like, tell me however you feel like you need to.
Right, they saw the whole thing, yeah. Right?
Once they got the Holy Spirit, it wasn't a problem anymore.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, just interesting, right? Mm-hmm. So when you start thinking you're bad for your unbelief, read about them. Right, Sherry?
Getting
good company, right? I mean, I still talk about how Peter grabbed Jesus and said, no, you're not going to die like this. I was like, wow, he got the revelation that was God, and he grabbed God. Told him no. You're not going to do that to me, are you, Lord? You ain't going to grab me and go, no, Eric. Isn't that, could you imagine that?
Well, Peter was impulsive at everything.
He was. You know? Son of thunder.
I relate to him.
Oh, we'll move on this side of the room with this.
Yeah,
okay. So, the knees does it too, Wayne?
No, I understand him. You know, he saw things a certain way and he thought it was good.
Yeah.
You know, he thought he was doing a good thing. His intentions were that, you know, no, you're not going to, I don't want you to die. You know?
Right.
I mean, his motives were right. It was just his impulses and reactions were, you know, it's like walking out in water, you know, getting out to run to him. You know, he was always hungry and thirsty, but sometimes he didn't think.
Yeah.
That's how I feel.
Right.
You know,
I would agree with that. I would agree with that. Okay, so let's talk about the Holy Spirit in this measure when it comes to this gift of prophecy, okay? So we talked about the mindset, right? That's what we were touching on last week. We were touching on the kind of mindset it takes to walk at the higher levels of this gift. So now let's talk about building that relationship with the Holy Spirit. So when you have the mind of Christ through the Word of God, the second fold of that is the relationship with the Holy Spirit, which amplifies the washing of your mind with the word, okay? And it makes your prophetic keen. It makes it precise. It makes it sharp. It makes it concrete to where you're not wavering and wondering. And then he actually shows you how to decode and discern and what to share and say to that person. He'll show you where they are, what they need to hear, how to encourage them along that path. A lot of different things he'll show you in that. So we'll get into that, okay? All right, so we're going to go in John chapter 14. And this is when the revelation came that, you know, Jesus and the Father were one and the revelation of the Holy Spirit came in. So we're going to start at verse 1. And I want to go down to verse, I want to say, maybe 27. Okay, so who wants to read that for me? In the version, we can do New King James or King James as Jackie likes it. We can do that. You
want
to do that, Mark?
Sure. Do you want me to read it in King James?
Yeah, we'll do it one time for Jackie, okay. And then we'll. Yeah, so we'll. Okay, you have Mark NIV?
I had NIV.
Yeah, okay, let's start in NIV, and then there's certain parts we're reading in King James, okay? Starting at verse 1. Yeah. You have King James, so we'll start at verse 1 with the NIV, and then Kent. I'm going to have Mark read through the 15 through 20s, but I'm going to have you go back through some sections with the wording that you have in your Bible, okay? All right, Mark.
Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you will always be where I am.
Mm-hmm.
You know the way to the place where I'm going.
Okay, so he's prophesying to them right now, right? He's giving them, he's prophesying, he's comforting them, right? We say prophecy is to what? Exhortate to comfort and to what? Build up. He's comforting them right now. He's prophesying to them about what's to come their future. That's foretelling. Prophecy is foretelling. So that's what he's doing right now. He's prophesying to them about the future. Okay? And comforting them with these words because he knew the shift was coming. Each day, they were getting closer to his departure. Okay? So he was trying to comfort them. Okay? Jesus is prophesying to them. Okay, go ahead, brother.
Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going. So how can we know the way?
The carnal response, right? Hey, Andrea. God says you're going back to Elevate.
No, I know.
Yeah. Right? Okay. Go ahead, Mark.
Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life.
Right.
No one comes to the Father except through me.
Mm-hmm.
If you really know me, you will know my Father as well.
Mm-hmm.
From now on, you do know him and have seen him.
Wow. You do know him and very soon. Now they're getting really crazy, right? Go ahead, bro.
Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us.
He's not asking much.
Right. What'd you say, Wayne?
He said he's not asking for much.
Right. He said, show us the Father. Like
he
to see.
Just said he saw him.
Right.
You've seen
the
Father.
He may have had too much wine the last time, right? Show us the Father, right? This is... That's how strong strongholds in our mind are and incarnality is, right? We can have the very words of God being prophesied because we've been asking for and waiting for, but because it doesn't come in the way that we expect or looking to see it, we totally miss it. You got Jesus right there, God in the flesh, telling you, look, I am that guy that you think you need to see. Nah. Yeah. Don't think so, Jesus. I mean, you're cool. You're good. But he said, believe in God. Believe also in me, you know. It's,
well, it's the whole concept of trying to understand the Trinity.
Right. Again, we're in good company, right, Cindy? So when you try to beat yourself up for doubting when God still provided or doubting when God still did something, or just read the scriptures. Read the Gospels. You feel better. Okay? Because we ain't that bad, you know. Okay, go ahead, brother.
Jesus answered, don't you know me, Philip? Even after I have been among you for such a long time,
mm-hmm.
anyone who has seen me has seen the Father.
Amen.
How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me?
He's getting a little worked up right there, wasn't he? Mm-hmm.
The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority.
Mm-hmm.
Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing the work.
Okay, you hear that? So who is he referring to right there? The Holy Spirit, the Father that dwells in me. He's talking about the Holy Spirit. He's not talking about the God in heaven. He's talking about the Holy Spirit. Okay? The Holy Spirit was his Father. Jesus in the natural, it was his Father. He was conceived of what? The Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
So he was referring to the Holy Spirit as his Father in this moment. He wasn't talking about God in heaven. He was talking about the Holy Spirit. Okay? That's who he's referencing. Because he's building it up to talk about the Holy Spirit. But he's trying to get us to understand the intimacy between him and the Spirit. Okay? And that's what I want you guys to understand. There has to be this intimacy, this oneness, this unity with you and the Spirit of God. Okay? Because once you understand this unity, accept what he's saying, then he ushers you into what to expect when you're walking with him. Okay? So he's building it up. He's building it up. Okay? All right. Go ahead, Mark.
Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe on the evidence of the works themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing,
mm-hmm.
and they will do even greater than these, because I am going to the Father.
Do you love that scripture?
Yeah. I love it.
Don't you love that scripture?
Yeah.
The works they do and greater works scriptures. Mm-hmm. See, he's building up. He said, if you just believe what I'm telling you, if you just accept what I'm telling you, you will do these things that I've been doing. And even greater things. But you have to believe it, not rationalize it, not argue with it, not debate it. Just believe what I'm telling you. And you will see, you will understand how to do these things that I'm doing and even greater things. Okay? All right, go ahead, brother.
And I will do whatever you ask in my name.
Wow.
So that the Father may be glorified in the Son.
Did you hear that? So he's talking about the unity. And when you're in that alignment with God, you can say and ask for things and they will take place. And what gift of operation is that? The gift of what? Faith. That's what he's talking about. He's describing how to operate in the gift of faith. And I think that's what Peter had, Lori. He just didn't have the faithfulness, the fruit of faithfulness to go along with it. The consistency, right? He could start it, but he wasn't consistent with it.
Well, eventually.
Yeah. All right. Okay. All right. Go ahead, Mark.
You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it.
Wow.
If you love me, keep my commands.
Mm-hmm.
That's 15. Did you want to stop?
15. Uh-huh. Keep going, bro.
Okay. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever.
Okay. So now, even though he was describing and talking about the Holy Spirit, now he's being more specific and giving, you know, detail and actually revealing the Holy Spirit to them. But he was talking about the Holy Spirit the entire time.
So why didn't he say that?
Don't know, Kathleen.
But isn't he saying here,
he'll give you that, where he was talking about he had it, right?
But that's he keeps referring to the Father, and then he says the Spirit of Truth. So why didn't he throw the Spirit of Truth in earlier?
Because the Holy Spirit has many different facets. Just like God has many different names, so does the Holy Spirit.
But he's dealing with these disciples. And like, if you're
so should he come down to their level, or should they come up to his? Well, and then they've already been with him. You're right. They're his what? Disciples. His students. Right? So he was teaching them. He said, if you don't believe that I'm in the Father, what? Believe the evidence of what? The works themselves. Mm-hmm. So they had seen enough to know that the Holy Spirit was with him and know that God was with him.
Yeah, but they're just thinking of, they're not thinking of a Trinity at this point. They're just thinking him and God.
Yeah.
So he's saying God's in me and I'm in God.
Right.
But then he throws in the Spirit of Truth. So how do they accept the Spirit of Truth at this moment and they couldn't earlier say?
That's why he says, just believe what I'm telling you. Not understand it, just believe it.
It would have helped me out like 30 years ago if I would have understood that.
Right? He said, just believe it. Just believe it. Okay, do you understand how a car does what it does?
No.
Okay. But you don't sit there and question that every time you start it up, right? You just know you throw your key in, you got gas in there, and if it goes vroom, vroom, you're good. If it goes, you call Kent, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm just thinking to explain that.
I understand what you're saying.
Earlier,
but that's why and Philip was asking him a question because he was lost, right? He was like, what? Go to heaven, rooms? You're a God. He was building it up.
Yeah, okay.
But we have that 10-second impulsiveness, right? Trying to figure it out within 10 seconds instead of just listening and receiving and just believing because of who he is. And he hadn't led you astray yet, right? But I understand. That, and Philip was doing that. Philip was asking the questions. Right? Because he didn't fully understand.
I have a question. In that moment, Jesus was 100% God and 100%. When Jesus was here on the earth, 100% God, 100% flesh. And he has an intimate relationship with the Father. The Father was in him, he was in the Father as a God.
Mm-hmm.
And when he was talking with the disciples, because he was going to leave and he was going to send the counselor to be to glorify him, because the Holy Spirit doesn't glorify himself, but it's glorify Jesus, and Jesus glorified the Father. But you tell him that in that case, when he said that the Father was in him, that Father represents the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the Spirit of God, you think about the Christmas spirit, the different spirits that we get into, we talk about and we describe in a carnal sense, not demonic, but in a carnal sense, right? So likewise, the Spirit of God is the nature of the Father. So when you have the Holy Spirit, he was trying to teach them how you don't have to sit here and kind of conjure up or wonder what the Father is thinking. When you receive his spirit, you understand his thoughts, his nature, his ways, the way he sees things, the way he thinks. That's what he was telling them, the secret of how he was doing everything that he was doing. Because they was looking at him as a special guy versus something they all could partake in. That's why he said, you would do these things also. He was including them in instead of being isolated as somebody only and they couldn't. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. He was trying to share that with them. Like, listen, you guys would do this and even greater things if you just believe what I tell you. Just believe what I tell you. And he was going to explain it to him. He went through the rest of the scripture. He goes through and explains this whole thing to him. But they were still trying to ask him questions, trying to figure out before he got there. That doesn't happen in power and authority, does it? Hey, I got a scripture I want to read. And I'm like, well, I'm going, I know what I got. You know, so that he's just trying to explain and expand. Okay. All right. Go ahead, Mark.
Let's just start at 15. Just
to... Okay. Yeah, that's fine.
If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever.
Wow. So this it's acts of obedience, knowing the word. Remember, we talked about having the mind of Christ, getting into the word and letting your mind be renewed so you can release the prophetic. I'm telling you the second half of that is with receiving the Holy Spirit. That's what he said. If you love me, then you will follow my commands. Right? If you love me, you will follow my commands. And he said, and then. Okay. Go ahead, Mark.
The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him.
Mm-hmm.
But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you.
He lives with you and will be in you. Right. Mm-hmm.
I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you.
Mm-hmm.
Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me.
Mm.
Because I live, you also will live.
Wow.
On that day, you will realize that I am in the Father, and you are in me, and I am in you.
Mm.
Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me.
Wow.
The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Then Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said, "But Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not the world?"
Mm-hmm.
Jesus replied, "Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me.
Right.
All this I have spoken while still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have said to you."
Okay, you hear that? Read that again, Mark.
"All this I have spoken to you while still with you.
Mm-hmm.
The Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things."
Will teach you all things.
"And will remind you of everything I have said to you."
Okay. Okay, hold it right there, brother. So he said the Holy Spirit, he will teach you all things and remind you of the things he's already spoken to you, referring to the scriptures. Okay, because the things that Jesus spoke are scriptures now, right? So for us, that's what it means. Not only he reminds you of the things that he said to you in the past by the Holy Spirit, but he also reminds you of the Word of God. So you don't have to worry about not memorizing a lot of things. A lot of times when I'm quoting scriptures, it's coming from me meditating and spending time in the Word of God, and the Holy Spirit just pulling it up. Does that make sense? I'm not really strong at memory. I'm really not at memory games. You know, like I probably stop at like memory line 7, and after that I can't remember the patterns and stuff like that. But it's the Holy Spirit who's telling me, you know, these scriptures and saying, you know, even when he was here last time, I couldn't exactly remember where the scripture on prophecy was in Romans 12. But I said Romans, you heard me say Romans 12, 6. Remember that? You heard that little delay in my voice? Because I was waiting for him to tell me exactly where it was. I couldn't really remember where. And I asked, I said, okay, because Cindy, you read it, right?
I think so.
Yeah, and I was like, I said, okay, is that verse 6? And he's like, yeah, and then you read it. And it said, it talked about prophesying according to your level of faith. But I couldn't exactly remember where it was. And then I was like, okay, where is that scripture, God? And then it came in, Romans 12:6. Okay? So that's why I'm pulling again. What's up, man? You just smiling. But I'm telling you these things, so when I'm standing here, and it looks like I know what I'm doing, but I really don't. I'm freestyling this thing every time I come up here. I am, you know. And it's just me talking from the Spirit. You know, I didn't prepare anything for tonight. I didn't prepare anything last time I talked to you guys. That was all the Holy Spirit just talking through me. I didn't prepare anything. You know? So, because if you're doing these things, you should be able to teach these things, right? And know what the references are. So, but that's where it comes from. So it comes from me relying on the Holy Spirit, depending on the Holy Spirit, and just living a lifestyle constantly depending on him. And then he expands your gifts. He starts showing you new things, and you start to ascend. And then that's when things get really fun and really cool. But you got to keep going. You know, you got to stay out there with him. Deep calling to deep, right? Right, Tim?
That's right.
As that look on your face, you serious again, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that. I know you're not, man. The Punisher. All right, go ahead, Mark.
You heard me say I'm going away. Oops, right back up. Mm-hmm. Peace I leave with you. Mm-hmm. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. Mm-hmm. You heard me say, I am going away, and I am coming back to you. If you love me, you would be glad that I am going away to the Father, going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I.
Okay, that's good, Mark. Thank you, sir. Okay, Kent, start at verse 15 with the King James.
Okay. Let's go back up here. 15.
Uh-huh.
If ye love me, keep my commandments,
mm-hmm.
and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever.
Mm-hmm.
Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, mm-hmm. who dwelleth with you, and shall be in you.
All right.
I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you, yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, yet ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments, and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us, mm-hmm. and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and he will come unto him, and make our abode with him. He that loveth me, not keepeth my... He that loveth me not keepeth my sayings.
Well, I get that King James there, huh?
Two nods in there. And the word which ye hear is not mine, mm-hmm. but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you.
Mm-hmm.
But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you.
Mm-hmm.
Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you.
Okay. Is that 27?
Almost.
Almost. Okay, go ahead.
Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid.
Okay, thank you, Kent. That's good. Okay, so, Liz, I know you have the Amplified.
I don't.
You have Amplified? Does anyone have the Amplified version of that?
I can give it to somebody.
I can.
You have it, Jackie? Go ahead and read that part.
Well, I mean, I have to get it.
Okay. Yeah, it just the part when he goes to the Holy Spirit. Starting at verse 25. Who has an Amplified version, verse 25? Okay. You can read that, Lord.
I told you these things while I'm still with you. Is that what you want?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, verse 25. Starting at verse 25 and keep reading to 27.
Okay. But the Comforter, Counselor, Helper, Intercessor, Advocate, Strengthener, Standby, the Holy Spirit.
You hear that? Read that again. You hear that?
Okay. But the Comforter, Counselor, Helper, Intercessor, Advocate, Strengthener, Standby, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, in my place to represent me,
mm-hmm.
and act on my behalf. He mm-hmm. will teach you all things.
Wow.
And he will cause you to recall, will remind you of, bring to remembrance everything I have told you.
Wow.
Peace I leave you, my own peace I now give and bequeath to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Stop allowing yourselves to be agitated and disturbed, and do not permit yourselves to be fearful, intimidated, and cowardly and unsettled. Wow.
Wow. You hear that? So he's saying with the Holy Spirit, you receive this peace, this comfort, this understanding. You're not disturbed by these things when you have this relationship with the Holy Spirit. That's what he's talking about. He's giving them one of the biggest revelations and secrets of how he was able to do what he was doing, why he was so calm, why he was so focused, why he wasn't disarrayed about things and discouraged about things, because he had this oneness with the Spirit of God that comes by, for us, meditation on the Word, fellowship with one another, and then with the relationship with the Holy Spirit. You know, those are the three things that gets us there. So that's why he was always relating these things to his disciples, because they were right there with him, right? And so those are the key things, you know, fellowship with one another, fellowship with the Spirit, and then meditation with the Word of God. Those are the three most important things that you can do in your spiritual life. You have something, Mark?
I just wanted to add on that, because you just had to read the package
right.
of the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Earlier it says, if you keep my commands, what is the greatest commands? Love one another.
Right.
If you are operating in that love, you don't have to worry. It says, don't worry about what you're going to say when you go before Him. I'll give you the words. You just got to. It just describes the whole packet. So when you go there, it's not about you. Are you going to do the healing? It's not about you. We're sitting at lunch today, and John Lancaster watches this guy, or actually didn't even really watch, take note of anyone, but the Lord lit him up and said, go talk to him. John doesn't have to have the words to say to him to go talk to him. He just needs to get up, grab the guy, and his words will flow. The Holy Spirit will flow through his words, and that's exactly what happened. You don't have, it's not a me thing, it's a he thing.
Right, amen.
And so that, I love that. And it further says, I will be with you forever.
Mm-hmm.
I will send you the advocate, and he will be with you forever. Mm-hmm. It's huge.
Yeah.
It's huge.
It's good, Mark. Yeah, he's a comforter. He's all different things. So when you come into this this level of relationship with God, you look weird and crazy to people, because people could be freaking out about stuff and you're just sitting there kind of like, it's quiet confidence. And they're looking at you crazy, Cindy, like, are you not going to get upset about it? You're not going to cry about it? Are you not going to, you know? And it doesn't mean that you don't find yourself feeling your emotions and being sad about things, saying about things. It's not that. It's this place where God is still your center no matter what's going on in your life. You don't lose your center is what I'm talking about. You know, you stay on no matter what is going on. I think it was cool. I was talking to Kathleen a little bit earlier today, and she was encouraging me. And just saying to me how through everything that she's seen me going through, how I just been consistent. And I wasn't even thinking about that, you know. I wasn't thinking about anything like that. I was just kind of just doing what God's telling me to do, because I don't think the word should be withheld no matter what you're going through, you know. And she said that to me, and I was like, oh, that's pretty cool. That felt pretty good. But, you know, that she saw that, but it wasn't me trying to portray that to her. It's just that we have a responsibility, and nothing should hinder the word of God from coming forth. They paid the ultimate price because of that relationship they had with God. And to get these things to us, it cost them their lives, you know. And so we have to be the same way. But I want to talk about the relationship with the Holy Spirit. Okay, so now we've gone through that. So the Holy Spirit. Now let's talk about the Holy Spirit and that relationship and what that looks like when it comes to this gift of prophecy. Because remember, we're still talking about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, right? And so when you are in touch and in contact with the Holy Spirit, when you have revelation of these gifts, he will actually teach you the purpose of this gift. Because a lot of times when we have gifts and abilities, we want to do them in our own way, in our own will. But remember, Paul in the book of 1 Corinthians 12 says, these gifts are done as is what Spirit what? Wills. So if you want to be in the place where God is willing these things through you, you have to have the mindset of God. You have to know the Spirit of God about these matters. So when you know, when you come before people and you want to, you know, like you're like praying like, God, man, God, I really want to get this person to work. If they get a word, they'll believe, oh, God, I really want to see Lord get healed, because if Lord gets healed, she'll believe. You know, it's OK to have those intentions and want to see God move and do those things. That's what we should do as Christians. But you come to this place that you start to know what God really wants to do before you even see it. OK, y'all see me come in here numerous times and go, hey, there is going to be a healing here tonight, or you guys are all going to prophesy to each other, or people going to be filled with speaking in tongues today, or before we even get started. That's what Jesus' days were like. He already knew what was going on before the day even got started. Because why? He was spending time with the Father, meditating, listening, communicating with him all throughout the night, talking, being prepared. That's why he said, the words are speaking out of my own, right? Because he already got the, what y'all call the downloads, Mark. The downloads for the Spirit. But it takes you to get into a place of sitting and being quiet and waiting and meditating. That's the key thing. The Bible says the thing that you do in secret, God rewards you openly. But if you're not secretly spending that time with God, being disciplined in the word, talking to him, interceding, praying, if you're not being diligent in those things, it's going to show up when it comes to showtime. You know, those things that transpired in Peru, you know, where from my time of spending time in meditation and quiet time and listening to the Lord. So when I went out, I already knew what he wanted to do. It was not a mystery. It wasn't I hope you show these people. No, I knew exactly what God wanted to do. And what he told me he wanted to do. I just had to be available. And that's the way he wants you. That's what he was sharing with them. You guys can do these things that I've been doing. Not only the manifestations, but the same confidence, the same mindset, the same peace, the same strength. He was telling them, all of this that I have belongs to you. Everything, not just the power, but everything. The knowledge, the strength, the endurance, the character, the love, all these different things that are part of me are in you guys too. Just as I'm one with the Father, you are one with him also. He was telling them these things. So they'll be confident in themselves and stop saying, oh, that's Jesus and this is me. Right? And that's the mindset that we have to take on because we have the same spirit. He even went further to say they would do greater things, right? And they did greater things, right? They did greater things. So, and that's what he wants us to know also. Before we start to get in our own mindsets, our own way of processing thinking things, we have to say, wait a minute. What did Jesus say about me? What did he say about me? He said that I'm one with him. He said that the things that he did, I will do. And even greater things. I obey his commandments. That means I love God. So I don't have to worry about, does God know I love him or does God love me? I know that he loves me. You see, you have to tell yourself these things because, you know, when you get out here in society, it'll reprogram you and tell you that you're not loved, you're not wanted, you're not needed. But in God, it's the opposite. So you'll stop seeking people for validation and know that you're valid in God. And you learn to appreciate when people say those things to you. And when they don't, you bless them. Does that make sense? And this is what he's telling. So we got to take the words that he says and take them here and think on them until that's the way we feel and the way we think and the way we function in. And that's when you start seeing the Holy Spirit do special things through your life and bless people in special ways. You start seeing special manifestations and people start looking at you like, wow, I want to know your God, Denise. Jackie, what do you do to do and say? What is going on? I've been a Christian for a long time and I've never met someone like you. That's what you want to hear because that's a life that's yielded to the Spirit of God. You know, there's being filled with the Spirit, the baptism of the Spirit, and then, you know, being Spirit led and Spirit controlled. You want to get to a level where you're Spirit controlled, not just led, controlled. Okay? That's the level you want to get to where the Spirit controls you, not just leads you. Jesus said, he said, the words I speak are not my own. He didn't say, I was like, well, God gave me some words, but this is what I really want to tell you. He said, the words that I speak are not. Nothing he said and did was of his own thoughts and doing. That's control. Led is like, well, I know what I should do, and I'm going that way. And you're doing some good things, but at any given time, you'll jump off that path when you feel like it. You know, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him what? Drink. Right? But if you're controlled by the Holy Spirit, that's when you start seeing the greater manifestation, the greater works, the greater revelations, the greater power, the greater moves of God that bless people and change people's lives. And that's what we're talking about. Having a life that's controlled by the Holy Spirit. Where you're not moved, you're not shaken, you're not thinking about what man is thinking about you, what your past says about you, and what's going on. You take the words of Jesus to heart and you run with it. And then you inspire others to do the same thing. You tell other brothers and sisters in Christ the same exact thing. Right? Because we talked about last time that we know our identity, but it's a lack of what? Embraced identity. The confidence and bonus that y'all see displayed in me, it doesn't come from my own strength. It comes from the relationship I have with the Father. I'm speaking on his behalf. I'm his ambassador. I'm his herald. I'm his John the Baptist, right? We're proclaiming a kingdom. A kingdom of victory. A kingdom of triumph. A kingdom of authority and power. And so we have to think that way and speak that way. So when you're praying, speaking to people, you're speaking with confidence because of who you're representing. You're representing God. And that's what he's trying to instill in them. Comfort. I won't leave you as orphans. Right? I'm not leaving you guys. I'm giving you something even better. And I'll always be with you through the Spirit of God. Right? So we have to start relying on the Holy Spirit way more than we think. Because sometimes I hear people say, oh, I don't want to bother God. I didn't know that there was a list of, you know, a word, a prayer bank that you're going to go so far. Right, Lori? You hear people say that?
Yes.
I didn't want to bother you. I didn't want to bother God. I didn't want to pray about that. I've already said all the different things. I don't post nothing in the group chat because there's so many prayers going up. I didn't know that there was a prayer limitation. Is there a prayer quota? Is there a prayer quota? I mean, you tell me, Apostle, is there a prayer quota? I mean, people tell me that all the time. Like, you know, I was going to say something, but I didn't want to because there was already like 10 prayers on there already.
Well, I think God's too busy to worry about
that. Yeah, and where does that mindset come from? Did Jesus say that?
They compare God to people.
Yeah. They do the same with people, and they think God's like a person. I mean, he is a person.
Right.
You know what I mean? And they think they're going to, my gosh, he's omnipresent everywhere to billions of people. So, I mean, how could you bother him?
Yeah.
Ever.
Yeah. So we want to think about that, right, Tammy? You know, I was going to call you, Tammy, but, you know, I know you got Kathleen calling you, Liz calling you, Lori calling you. I talked to Jack. She said she called you yesterday. So I was going to call you, but I didn't because I know how busy you were.
My phone is blowing up.
Yeah, and you had quota, right? There's a quota, and I hear that all the time. I hear it all the time, and something we could have linked up on and prayed together in and defeated the enemy is still wearing and tearing you down. Because we know the enemy works in what, isolation, so he wants you thinking that way, right? Remember, the disciples did the same thing when Jesus was walking along, and the children want to come up. No, don't bother him. And they said, you know, and the blind people, well, hey, son of David, don't bother him. He said, no, stop. They was always trying to keep people from doing what Jesus was sent to do.
I get that all the time, and I'm not sure how to stop it. Because there are people I want to call, and I am busy, but you're never too busy.
Right.
It depends. I would tell them if there was something I had to do.
Of course.
So I don't understand.
Yeah, you get that. I know you get that a lot.
I do.
Yeah, well, you don't have a problem with me. I'll call you. Like, okay, you got that going on, Jackie? You got that? Okay, that's cool. So let me talk to you real quick. So,
yeah, you can always make time, or if you can't, if you're with somebody else in ministry, you just tell them I'll call you back or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's no excuse.
There you
and
go.
People that really need it the most will tell me that. They ever call, and they really need it. So when I see them, I minister to them, and they and I said, so we haven't called. Oh, I know. I don't want to bother you.
Right, and it's just that's not the nature of the Holy Spirit. I mean, we find ourselves doing things at different times. But God, he's never too busy for us. He's always there. And even if someone who's a leader in this room can't reach you, he's always there. But reach out. If you can't catch someone who you need to pray with, put it on a group chat. Text someone. You know, don't sit there in isolation. Because that's exactly what the enemy wants. It's exactly what he wants. Don't allow your own thoughts to get the best of you and keep you from linking up with your brothers and sisters in Christ and getting that additional help. Okay?
Well, I think a lot of times we think that way because in the world, you know, you're always keeping the lower position people from the president.
Right.
The company of the whatever.
Right.
And so we're kind of programmed to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And it is contrary to the word.
Right.
Because we're supposed to go right to the top.
That's it. You know? That's good.
It's absolutely the opposite of what the world is, but that's our society and how we were raised in society, and I think that's why we do it. And we carry that natural part of our being into the spirit realm, and we really
right.
shouldn't.
Into the kingdom, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's good, Cindy. That's good, Cindy. So okay. So just know that. All right. Okay. So now we're talking about the like going continue more into the Holy Spirit. So now that Jesus has said these things to you, he said you would do the things that are doing greater works. He said that you would he will teach you all things. All things. Okay, so let's hit on that real quick. So when he's talking about he would teach you all things, well, you know, the Holy Spirit, there's no one smarter than the Holy Spirit because everything was created by the Spirit of God, right? We know that, right? So God can teach, the Spirit of God can teach you anything and everything, more than and better than Google ever could.
What?
Nah, I know you could. I know your leader over here said it, right? But he comes to a place of sitting and listening and letting him teach you these things. I mean, a lot of the inventions and ideals that people have been deposited by the Holy Spirit into the hearts and thoughts of men. And that's why they couldn't stop, because people kept telling them, no, you can't do this, you can't do that. And they just got that driving force telling them, no, go, 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 go. And then it came into fruition. Mm-hmm. Right? So, because Jesus said, I mean, the word of God says, unless they God shall pour spirit upon all flesh. So let's talk about hearing the thoughts and prayers of other people. Okay? So when I started operating in this gift of the word of knowledge, this level of the word of knowledge, it was about maybe 6 years ago, maybe seven. I was actually with my family, and you know, I had been praying in the spirit, talking to God, things of that nature, and then one of my one of my cousins was having these thoughts about doing something. But he was really trying to talk to God about it. He was having a battle between going off and doing something of sin, or staying here and you know, and not doing those things that would send him back to jail. Mm-hmm. And I'm sitting there and I'm going like, and he wasn't saying anything. We're watching the football game. We're all watching the game. And I'm sitting there going, what is he? What? You know, I'm like, is he thinking about doing that? And we're watching the game. I wasn't even consciously thinking about anything negative or bad. But I could hear this thing going, God, I don't want to mess up again. God, I don't want to go back to jail. I don't want to go back to jail. And that's all I kept hearing. You know? And I said, hey, are you worried about going to jail or whatever? And he just looked at me. Like, with his eyes, like, wide open. And I didn't understand it, so I was speaking out of immaturity, right? I didn't know what was going on. I was like, wow, what's going on? I'm just hearing this, you know, I don't go to jail, I don't go to jail, I don't go to jail. And so I'm like, hey, were you worried about going to jail? And he kind of looked at me, and he's kind of like, then he put his head down. He said, yeah, because I got some thoughts going through my head right now that are not good, you know? And this time, my cousin, he was actually living with me. So back when I was in Denton, going to school at UNT. And I said, well, okay, well, let's pray, you know, and I never, and it's funny because I've never prayed with him until that moment. And he had a really bad addiction to drugs and you know, he's the type of guy who was a people pleaser. So when he got around people, he would just be the craziest guy doing the craziest thing that got him in trouble. He always tried to impress people. But when he was with me, he would try to be mellow. But soon he got around any of his friends, he would try to do, you know, stunts and things to impress them. And that's what it was. He was a people pleaser. And so that's what he's worried about. He knew his friends were coming. He's going to go out with them eventually, because he had already told them all the stuff he's going to do with them and go out and hang out with them. And so he had already made that commitment to go out and do this stuff with them. And then, you know, he downplays going to jail, downplays, you know, all the stuff he's been through, downplays being shot, downplays all this different stuff to impress them. You know, he downplayed everything. And then what I heard him saying those things, and I was kind of like, well, let's pray. And so I prayed with him, and you know, he was really weeping and, you know, crying, and he was on the phone talking to a friend of his, I guess, whatnot. I mean, needless to say, he still went out and did what he did, though. I mean, he still got in trouble and still went to jail. So it didn't stop it. But I'm just referring to when I operate in that gift. I'm not talking about the happy ending that y'all always love to hear when I talk and give you stories, okay? And then always a happy ending. Sorry, chaplain, I know how much you love the happy endings when I talk about it, but it wasn't a happy ending with that one. It still happened. I couldn't stop it. But I did operate in the gift. And so from that point on, I start to understand, and when I read the scripture, that Jesus heard thoughts. And I said, oh, okay, so that's one of the same works things. I said, oh, okay, that's pretty cool. And then that gift started to increase and started to go on and go on and go on. So sometimes when I'm talking to people, God's already relating things to me about what's going on, but then he shows me they're not open to the things of the Spirit, or not open to the things of God. So instead of me saying, Spirit of God is saying, the Spirit of God has shown me this, it's like, hey, let me ask you a question. Have you ever thought about doing X, Y, and Z, yada, yada, yada? That's interesting. You said, I was thinking about that, you know, this morning, what I should do, where I should go, and, you know, and what job I should take and stuff like that. I said, yeah, I think that'll be good for you. I think that'll, you know, be really good for you to do and to go ahead and pursue that. I would just encourage him that way. I wouldn't say anything about God. I wouldn't. It'll just be a moment for us to connect and relate. Okay? And God will tell me that. Don't say anything other than just that, because that's where they are. Now, immediately we'd be like, why didn't you tell them it was God? They would have praised God. No. God is very strategic. He's very strategic, because there are things that I could say that will either build your faith or destroy your faith based on where you are. There are things that, Kathleen, God will share you for your own liberty in the spirit with him. But you can't share with any else, not even Kent. Because if you tell him, he's like, well, why didn't God tell me that? Why didn't he show me that? Where is that in scripture? You know, the whole protocol, right? Like, you don't hear from God. You see? And that's what we got to be very careful of. So God had to mature me with that gift of knowing the thoughts of people and what they're praying and petitioning God for. And it comes to at a level when he can trust you and you love him and you obey him, and he'll expand those gifts to entrust you with the care and the knowledge of his people. Right? So and then once that person will go ahead and get the job or go ahead and do what the Lord was showing me to encourage them to do, they will always come back to me and talk to me. It's like, man, it was crazy how you just kind of just said that. Man, that was a sign, or that was just a good thing, man. I guess that was just good luck, or, you know, the carnal things that we say. And then as we build a relationship, and they go, well, are you a Christian? I was like, yeah, I believe in Jesus. That's pretty cool. Like, you know, I kind of went to church as a kid. I'm not really a Christian, but, you know, I think it's a nice religion, you know. It's nice. And then I'll tell them, I'll say, well, you know, actually, if I can be honest with you, God will release me to say it then. I'll say, well, actually, you know, when I got that insight, God was actually sharing that with me, that that's what he wanted you to do, that you were contemplating on, and he wanted to encourage you in that way. What else has he told you? You know? Right? And that, yeah, and that, but you can't. You have to be careful not to be overzealous. Mm-hmm. You have to wait for God, because he knows that person. He knows exactly where they are and what they need to hear. And you have to wait as eager, and as when you finally see God moving through, you want to just jump all over him. But you have to wait. Some people are ready for that. Chaplain was like that. She was ready for those spirits just to jump all over. But everyone is not ready for that. So you have to not allow your zeal to destroy the faith of someone else's. Okay. And the Holy Spirit will teach you that. He will teach you that. So you don't have to worry about being, come here, Sherry. All right. So one of the things I want to encourage you in is that, you know, you're going to operate in some of the highest levels of the prophetic, but you have to allow the Spirit of God to do more of the leading and the talking than you do. Okay? Yes? Okay.
You've been having spy cam again, haven't you? Good Lord, yeah. The whole time you're talking, I'm like...
because let me validate that, with that correct, because... Yeah. You want people to know and not misunderstand anything. You want to make sure that they don't miss anything. They understand everything. It's thorough. They get it. They grasp it. And they're good, because you're thinking about all the possible things that can happen to that seed once you plant it. But you can't. You have to trust God with that and know that that seed is powerful enough to protect them and keep them. And your prayers are what's going to carry them over. Okay? So just as you had to get to know the Holy Spirit and learn and go through your trials, they have to, too. You know, we're so good at giving our kids everything we didn't have that we forget to give them the things that we did have. And you wonder why they saw a balance, spiritually and physically. Right? We're so good at giving them everything and not giving them the things that we did have. Also, the correction, falling down, making mistakes, learning from it, giving them time to learn from it. Yeah. You know, so spiritually, you got to do the same thing. Don't worry about people not getting it. Remember, Reuben read last week that he makes everything beautiful in his time. Mm-hmm. There's a time and season for everyone, and so I want to encourage you in that. So don't overwhelm them. Speak the truth in love. Ask God, okay, do you want me to say anything else? And if you don't hear it, don't say it. Because you have to also factor in that God's going to give them some more things and teach them more things. And there may be other people who want to actually water that seed that you planted. Okay? So don't worry, they'll get it. But in God's timing. Okay? But you don't have to overemphasize, overexplain, try to make sure they get it all the time, hold their hands all the time. There's a season for that, but you don't have to overly do that with everyone because it brings on confusion. Because it's like if you're in the first grade and I teach you first grade coloring and math, and then I jump to, oh, but then there's second grade coming. So then you got to get ready for second grade math and English. And then there's third grade coming. So after second grade, you see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And they're just in day one of first grade. You know, you got to give them that time to mature and throw a little bit of the second grade in there, but let them master the first grade. And they'll be ready. So when you say, okay, this is what second grade looks like, and then you can relate it to the experience of first grade. You see, but if you just go from first, not even completed yet, to second or third, they had nothing to relate it to.
Yeah.
Right? So stay with them. And remember, you were there at one time.
Yeah.
Okay, so don't be sensitive because you were there at one time. So don't rush it. Stay there with them. Paul says, I become all things to all people, right? To those who are free, I'm free. To those who are enslaved, even though I'm free, I become enslaved. Why? That I may win many for Christ.
Yeah.
Okay? And that's the mindset you have to stay in, okay? And sweetheart, what you speak is more than enough. What you say is more than enough. Okay? You don't have to overemphasize, overanalyze. Just say what God tells you to say. If he tells you anything else, you say it. But if not, we're done. Okay?
Okay.
All right? Okay. So, because... Really, Sherry? She made sure I saw it too, right? But when you walk at the highest levels of God, that's what it's about. It's about correction. And God showed me that with the life of Paul and Peter. They were the two most corrected. They were two of the greatest, but they were two most corrected. I mean, he always was getting on to them. I'm like, but look how much fruit it produced. But they were always being corrected by the Spirit of God. Paul on the road to Damascus. Peter, when he said Jesus wasn't going to die that way. Paul, when, you know, this is one of the scriptures that Mark and I kind of related on. Mark and I first started hanging out was in Acts chapter 18 when let's pull that up real quick. Acts chapter 18. You want to read that, Mark?
Sure.
Let's go down memory lane, brother.
So after this, Paul left Athens
mm-hmm.
and went to Corinth. There he met a Jew named Aquila, a native of Pontus who had recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla because Claudius had ordered all the Jews to leave Rome.
Mm-hmm.
Paul went to see them, and because he was a tent maker as they were there, he stayed and worked with them. Mm-hmm. Every Sabbath he reasoned in the synagogue, trying to persuade Jews and Greeks.
Mm-hmm. So he was in Corinth. So this is where the book Corinthians came from. Okay, so the book of Acts kind of gives us a synopsis of everything that Paul did within the different churches. And then we have his individual letters. But it's giving kind of a snapshot of what happened when he went to Corinth on the outside looking in versus being directly coming from him. Okay, he was in Corinth this time. And you know he had a hard time with the Corinthian church. Okay.
When Silas and Timothy came from Macedonia, Paul devoted himself exclusively to preaching, testifying to the Jews that Jesus was the Messiah.
Okay, you hear that? So he made a commitment to preach to the Jews in Corinth about Jesus. He made a commitment. He made a commitment. The Apostle Paul made a commitment to preach to the people in Corinth. Okay? Watch this.
But when they opposed Paul,
and
became abusive, he shook out his clothes and looked at them and said to them, "Your blood be on your
head." He was offended. He made a commitment to preach to these people. Then he got offended. But he made a commitment before. See, that's what we do, right? All right, Lori, I'm at you to the end. We're going to grind this thing out, girl. You're my prayer partner, girl. It's going to be me and you. All the way. Call your phone. Oh, Lori didn't answer. She knows I'm going to call her. What's she doing? I told her to call it. Okay, so that's day one. You text and say, oh, sorry, Eric, I had a late start. Oh, that's cool, that's cool. We'll start back tomorrow. Call you up. Oh, Eric, I'm so tired. I really can't pray today. Can we do it tomorrow? What? Are you a Christian? But we made a commitment. You see? Go ahead.
King James, he was pressed in the Spirit. The Spirit is the one that told him to go there.
There you go.
That's why we do the King James.
That's why we do the King James. Right. No, absolutely.
That is.
But
some words that, I mean, no. King James is hard.
And that's what we've been reading the King James, because I wanted to incorporate that in. Absolutely true. But I want to get back to us making commitments. We know preaching the gospel is God, right? But thank you, Jackie. Right. He was pressed by the Spirit. Right. And that's why correction came by the Spirit, because he made a commitment to preach to the Jews. And we do that, right? This is so good. Go ahead, Mark.
Your blood be on your own head.
Your blood be on your own hand.
I'm innocent
of it. Now God gave him to the Corinthian church, and he says, I'm innocent of it if you guys don't figure it out. Mm-hmm. But that was his, like Jackie said, that was his push by the Spirit of God. But yeah, now he's going, okay, your blood's on your own hands. Y'all don't love me. Y'all don't receive me. Die where you stand.
Yeah. From now on, I will go to the Gentiles.
I will go to the Gentiles, the people who are pagans. That's where I'm going. I'm packing my bags and going. What?
They're easier.
Yeah.
Everybody says because I'm Jewish, I'm sent to the Jews, and I say no, I'm sent to the Gentiles.
Yeah. Like, hey, aren't you Jewish, Jackie? Oh, well, let's go talk in private about that. Okay, go ahead, brother.
Then Paul left the synagogue and went next door to the house of Titus Justus, a worshiper of God.
Mm-hmm.
Crispus, the synagogue leader, and his entire household believed in the Lord, and many of the Corinthians who heard Paul believed and were baptized.
Mm-hmm.
One night, the Lord spoke to Paul in a vision.
Okay, you hear that? Okay, so before we get here, he went to the Gentiles and people got saved. So anyone would have said, oh, see, look how God just did that and redirected us. You see, if that wouldn't have happened with the Jews, you wouldn't have saved the Gentiles. Does God? Let's see if God agrees with that. Go ahead, brother. One night, huh?
One night, the Lord spoke to Paul in a vision. Do not be afraid.
Do not be afraid. He didn't say, hip, hip, hooray, you saved the Gentiles. You figured out the puzzle. You got rebuked and went to the Gentiles. That's exactly what I want you to do. No, he said, don't be afraid. Go ahead.
Keep on speaking. Do not be silent.
Keep on speaking. Do not be silent. What was the Spirit of God referring to? The Jews. He wasn't talking about the Gentiles. He's talking about the Jews. Okay?
For I am with you, and no one is going to attack you or attack and harm you, because I have many people in this city.
Mm-hmm.
So Paul stayed in Corinth for about a year and a half, teaching them the word of God.
That'd be good, Mark. He went back and kept teaching for a year and a half. He's ready to go. And then he went back and taught for a year and a half. Yeah, go ahead.
I pulled up King James.
Go ahead.
And the part that I like, it says, hold not thy peace, which means, you know, we all want peace. We don't want stirring up.
Uh-huh.
And he's saying, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it being peaceful.
Right.
But that's hard. You know, when you, that's, you want
so,
peace.
So from now on, we call it out. We're going to say, oh, pause. Yes, but he made a commitment to preach to the Jews first.
Okay, so do we know that he continued with the Jews, though?
He did. Well, that was the very reason why he got the correction. He said, do not be afraid. Because the Gentiles received him. It was the Jews that he was running from. That's why he said, blood be on your own
hands. Right, I got all that. Yeah. Then it said he continued preaching. It didn't say
in Corinth. In Corinth, there were Jews and Gentiles in Corinth.
How do we know that he didn't just continue preaching to the Gentiles?
He did, because he went into the next chapter. He went into Ephesus and did the same exact thing. Okay. He preached to everyone there.
This is only synopsis here.
Yeah, exactly. Because it's in there. Because he even references Abraham and Moses throughout the book of Corinthians. He talks about love, right? And you were pagans and all the different things. Yeah, so it's all through there. Yeah, like I said, synopsis and thanks, Tammy.
He was just listening.
Oh, yeah, you were. So does it make sense? So he was corrected.
Yeah.
You see? But he made a commitment. Like Jackie said, he was pressed by the Spirit. And then they started afflicting him and resisting him. He's like, oh, no, I'm dealing with y'all. Blood be on your hands. Die where you stand. I'm gone. But see? And most people don't point that correction out about Paul. They don't remember the road to Damascus and a few things. But no, he was corrected later on when he was an apostle. Because if you look at the book of Romans, it says Paul called to be an apostle. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 1 says Paul called to be an apostle. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 1 says Paul an apostle. So during that time of the Corinthian church, he shifted from being called to being an apostle. Okay? Somebody read those things. Read Romans 1, verse 1. Romans 1, verse 1.
I've got it in New King. Paul, a bond servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle.
Okay. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 1. The next chapter. I mean, next book.
Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ.
Okay.
God.
Called to be an apostle. Okay. 2 Corinthians 1 and 1.
Mine says Paul called as an apostle.
Uh-huh. Okay. And 2 Corinthians 1, verse 1. Same version, Cindy.
2 Corinthians what?
Second Corinthians chapter 1, verse 1.
Okay, I got it.
Okay.
It switched to 2.
It switched to 2?
Yeah.
Okay.
Second
Corinthians.
Oh, it is 2 Corinthians?
2 Corinthians 1, verse 1.
Oh, I do have it.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Paul and apostle.
An apostle.
Of Jesus Christ,
uh-huh.
The will of God, and Timothy our brother unto the church of God, which is at Corinth.
You see that? So wow. He had to stay in Corinth because that's where his graduation lied.
Wow. Okay, so he had to stay in Corinthians.
Uh-huh.
That's where his graduation
lied. That's it, his apostleship. Doing.
I don't
want to
graduate.
Yeah, so you gotta stay in there, brother. Stay in there. Stay in there. Stay in class. Stay out of school. Do extra credit. Get there early. Leave late. You see? Because during that time is when he graduated. He went from being called to being an apostle. Okay, and there are defining moments in your life that are going to determine when you switch from being in the ministry to the office. Okay? Some of the hardest and toughest prophecies that I've ever given were a sign of me entering to the office and just having a prophetic ministry. You know, me telling my mom my stepdad was going to die of cancer. And that God said that without any kind of reason why, he just said, it's his time. It was a test. Me giving my pastor a word. Me prophesying to my dad. Me prophesying to people who I looked up to and admired. And me going to those people and speaking over them spiritually. What God was saying. You know, there are times and moments that God, opportunity that God gives you to set you in that office. Okay, and for Paul, that's what it was. Okay. That's what it was for him. His test was at the Corinthian church. And he, where did he write the most letters to in the Bible? The Corinthian church. Right?
It was a tough town.
Right. And he said that y'all the sign of my apostleship, right? You think I'm not an apostle? He because they were comparing him to Apollos, right? And saying, oh, we're with Apollos. He was having a tough time with them. They were giving it to him. That's why he talked about love. But look at all the beautiful scriptures that came out of their relationship. Look at all that produced in him. We get so much from the Corinthian scriptures. What love is, what the gifts are, communion, gifts over care. I mean, so much came out of that relationship. So when he went into Ephesus in chapter 19, he was relentless. The Corinthian church had trained him up for Ephesus. That's when God did the unusual miracles. He preached for 2 years nonstop. He being filled with the Spirit. Ephesus was crazy. But he had to go through Corinth. So what is your Corinth?
Mm-hmm.
Of course you did. You graduated. You're reading my thoughts now, right, Kathleen? No. I passed Corinth a long time ago. Fortunately for you, Lord. Yeah, Corinth was a while back for me. It's not you guys.
I really think Corinth is when you really deal with the hard people.
Yeah.
The ones that are very difficult, but you love them until God, they can see.
Yeah. Yeah.
You walk in love.
I mean, so when you look and read the book to Corinth, man, he's digging in there. When I was a child, I spoke as a child, meaning y'all are immature. Put it away. Grow up. Y'all have gifts. Y'all have a pie, all this stuff, but you understand all mysteries, but don't have love. You have all faith to move mountains, but you don't love. He's telling them these things because they had the manifestations, but they didn't have the character. He said, are all apostles, are all prophets, all y'all beating your chest around here? Who is Apollos? Who is Paul? He was pleading with them because they were so caught up in their abilities. And it's hard when you have people with great abilities but no character to talk to them. That's the hard people she's talking about. Those are the hardest people to get to because they have manifestations and they're approved by people. Okay? So don't be that church. That's why he says pursue love and desire the gifts. Right? He told them that. Pursue love in 1 Corinthians 14. Pursue love and desire gifts, especially that you may prophesy. He's putting it in the right order. He was setting things in order in the church. That's what he's trying to do with the Corinthians, because they were out of control. Okay? And so that's the beauty of having the Holy Spirit. He would tell you how to do these and delegate these things when it comes to certain people. So just wait for him. Okay? All right?
So when you met your Corinth, did you feel like you weren't strong enough the first time? You just kept going at it? Or?
Yeah, because, you know, my Corinth was when I left my church and started coming out here to the churches in this area. You know, 4 or 5 years ago, when I started going to some of the prominent churches in this area and being rejected, being pushed back, being opposed, being judged, you know, all different things. That's what was going on back in 2011 is when I started going through my Corinthian phase. Yeah, so when I came, nobody knew who I was. They didn't know where I came from. They just knew I was this guy, this big black guy who prophesied and knew God. You know, and it wasn't a racist thing. It was just what it was, you know. I didn't ever call anybody a racist. It's just what it was. It was just, this is what it was. They didn't know me. They didn't know anyone who knew me in the church. I wasn't affiliated with anyone. I came into the churches and then they invited me to their men's groups or invited me to a thing thinking I didn't know Jesus or whatever, you know, just doing what the church does. And I ended up coming in these groups and giving answers and saying things and getting where they're kind of like, yeah. Then I signed up. Remember, I signed up for this one ministry. It's called Healing Prayer. And from 2 to 4, this one church would hold meetings on Saturdays to bring in the sick and pray for them. And this is a church that Heidi Baker, Sean Bowles, all those people come through that I got a chance to meet. And you know, I would see what people needed, but I would get the prophetic. And so I'll be with the leaders and we'll be praying for someone. And I'm kind of like, no, that's not what's going on. There's actual spirit. That's really going on that you're dealing with. There's a Jezebel spirit or this kind of spirit, and the person will be like, yeah, like I saw a dream of that or something. And then the leaders are kind of like, oh, so they'll congregate and go, yeah. And then I get the lunch call. You know, and it's happened in every single church that I've gone to.
So what, they don't believe in casting out demons?
No, it's just that they don't know who I am personally. They just didn't know who I was. And that intimidated them because it was like, wait a minute, first of all, we're supposed to be doing these things and nobody upstages us. But it wasn't that they were taking it that way. That's just how they responded to me because they just know how to take me. They didn't know who I was. They didn't know where I came from. No one knew me. No one could vouch for me. It was just kind of like this guy just came out of nowhere doing all of this stuff. Like, who are you? Where did you come from? Right. I'm saying that, Jackie, but you know what I know.
You were good.
Huh? Jackie just said it.
It's no discernment. I knew the second I met him. I didn't even know he was the leader. I did not know.
Mm-hmm. But that's what it was. But that's what God wanted to do. And God needs people strong enough to, because people really want those things. I mean, you bring in people the way that church is bringing in these top leaders in the body of Christ. That's what it was, right?
Yeah.
So, but you have to understand that was my Corinth, because you guys asked me what my Corinth was. It was going to these churches who really want the move of the Spirit, but just still had the traditional resistance to it. Mm-hmm. But once I endured and built those relationships, it was fine. But I had to endure it. The immaturity, the misunderstanding, the lack of carnality, all different things. That's what was going on. I had to endure those things until they got to know me. You know, and then one of the most validating moments is when Sean Bowles gave me, you know, had a word for me in front of the entire church. I left a year or two years after that, and he spoke about me being at that church and what I would do for the kingdom of God without me even being there.
Wow.
You know, my wife and I, we were in Dallas, and Mark called. He's like, oh, I was supposed to have been there, man, but I read stuff about that dude, kind of squirrely stuff, man. Yeah, my wife and I, we were in the car leaving from her aunt Sophia's house from a, I don't know, was it party or something, babe? Yeah, I'll eat it in a minute, sweetheart. We were leaving, and then I was getting these calls and text messages from my friends from the church, and they were like, hey, man, Sean Bowles has a word for you. Sean Bowles has a word for you. Sean Bowles, Sean Bowles. And I'm kind of like, okay. And they were all texting me, all my friends from the church. And then we finally turned it on. We got it on our phone in the car. And we called like a little bit of it, and he was saying some things, you know, just saying, is there Eric? He said, my best friend name is Eric Johnson. Eric Johnson there, you know, the black guy, Eric Johnson. And one of my friends, she stood up and received the word for me. And then he was talking about I will be coaching people and what they're called to do and things of that nature. And then he started actually giving her a word too. But it was just the validation for me, God letting me know. Yeah. You see what I'm saying? That it wasn't about what he actually had to say about me. It was God letting me know in front of all of them that was for me. Just in case you didn't think it was, he was for me. You see? And so let God be the one validating you guys. Don't worry about trying to impress people and try to get these things to people. God, if you're truly doing what God told you to do, true people of God will recognize it. Like Jackie said. So don't try to impress certain people. Let God validate you. Okay? Let him do it. I wasn't even there. I was way in Dallas. He was up here in our area. I'm in Dallas hanging out with my wife and the family, just relaxing. You see? Wasn't even thinking about it. I didn't have any ill will feels toward that church or anything. But God just said, no, that was the one I sent here to be here with y'all. You see? But many churches have missed out on what God wanted to do. And that's the purpose that Power and Authority started, because this was actually supposed to be in a lot of the churches in this area, but they all rejected it. The ones that I was sent to, they all rejected it. This could have been in the church. Spreading like wildfire. But, yeah. Same thing happened to Jesus. He got rejected in the synagogues, right? And he went out to the wilderness, and then he turned it out. This is our wilderness. PNA is our wilderness. It's where people go who hit that middle ground just above the baby Christians but can't get in the administration area. This is what this ministry is about. It's not a challenge to the church. It's to find validation and credibility and encouragement to those who are in that middle ground to be who God's called them to be and give them a launching path to do it. Because I've experienced the whole gamut. So there's nothing that you guys have experienced in church that I haven't experienced numerous times. Okay? That's the purpose of this ministry. That's why we're going to do great things. Amen? All right. Amen. So we're going to go into just a little bit of quiet time right now. And last week was really cool because we saw words for each other. It was really good. Like, Cindy, wow. Wow. What'd you think about that, Jackie?
Great.
That was, man, she got Jim. She got Jim really good. She's like, you think James? Yeah. Yeah. Of course. And a lot of you guys did. You know, Tammy and Kathleen. I mean, there were a lot of awesome words. Mark and Ruth. I mean, all you guys were spot on, giving really good words and encouragement and things. It was just really amazing to watch. And when you stretch. So I want us to pray. I want to stretch a little bit more now. Okay. And I want us to pray and ask the Holy Spirit what it is that he will want to say to any of us. If it's to us as a group, as us as individuals, as someone sitting in this room, to yourself, you know, to the message you've been waiting to get from God yourself on some direction. Let's just seek the Holy Spirit, because, man, I feel him all over me. And bring it to him. And I actually want to pray and do some impartations tonight. See, that's why you shouldn't miss. You know? Because I tell people, don't miss. Because you can get the recording, but you're not here. You don't know what the Spirit's going to do, you know? So I tell people, I noticed some people couldn't be here, but if you sitting at home, it's going, oh, I can't because I don't feel like it's raining wet. Oh, well, you know, and I hope they hear this because I want them to hear it. You know, because if somebody told you they had $1 million waiting on you, oh, you take off work, you wouldn't sleep, you wouldn't do anything, right? You go right out of the storm, hell, everything. You run, you know. No question. Y'all have to tell you prepared for your $1 million. You're already ready, right? Yeah. Waiting outside, same clothes, wet, everything. Don't care. Sick, coughing, I don't care. Where my money, right? But we have to be like that with God. You know, the Bible says those who hunger and thirst for it shall be filled with it, right? That's what it's about. Okay? So maybe we can lay hands on everyone else when they get back in town. So we still love y'all, but, you know. Praise God. All right.